From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Super excited about today's show. We are going to be talking football. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, football and business, they go together in ways that you might not be thinking of, but we have Christian Messigian. He has thought of football in a little bit different way. He is the CEO and co-founder of Modern Football Technology, and I'm going to have him tell it because he's going to tell the story a little bit better, but it's all about helping people create an advantage, helping them win in football, helping coaches to be successful. I think you know that on this show, this is all about building the backyard advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. So I believe strongly in having an advantage. If you don't have an advantage, chances are you're going to get spanked, and that is not fun. I have been there. So Christian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on here. As we start, also want to thank you and the Growth Factory. You know, we wouldn't be here. We got our start with the Growth Factory as one of its portfolio companies. So
yeah, you were one of our first investments, and we must have been one of your first investors.
You were.
Okay.
You were.
And you know what? So if you just to, maybe this is a hook for the show too. Like when Growth Factory decides to make an investment, or I decide to make an investment personally, I look at the founder. I mean, I love football, so I was immediately wanting to invest in a football company. But look, we invest with other people's money, and you know, you invest to win. And I believe that when we invest, that we want to invest into people that have enough commitment, humility, and authenticity that they will figure out a way to win, they will be committed to continuing because it's not easy. Building a business, it's got its ups and downs, and you want people with the right core values because they're a lot more likely to succeed or figure it out than maybe somebody who doesn't demonstrate those values. And Christian, you demonstrated those values to me early on and continually. So we appreciate having you as one of our companies, one of the Growth Factory companies. And the fact that it has to do with football as well makes it icing on the cake. So I'm super proud to be sharing your story too. Finally, after the last couple of years, we've been invested into your company for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I think June 22.
We invested in June of 22. Yeah. So that was, a little over 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the company has changed somewhat since then. I know you have grown. But maybe before we go into that, you know, I teased it a little bit that it has to do with football and technology because it's in the name. But why don't you start by just telling me an overview of the company? What do you guys do?
Sure. It's an analytics company. I think every coach in football has tried to move beyond pen and paper to understand the game, whether that's Excel or another program. The genesis of what we do goes back to the University of Texas with my co-founder, who actually was my wide receivers coach in college.
Okay, so you were a wide receiver at University of Texas?
No.
Oh.
A small Division III school, Lutheran.
Cal Lutheran.
In Southern California, that happens to have a pretty deep coaching tree within the pro collegiate ranks for a small school like Cal Lutheran.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're a player, though. You played.
Yeah, I played. So, you know, coached by some guys that are in the NFL now. Played with and roomed with some guys that are in like the Power Four head coaching conferences.
Wow.
As well. So, you know, that network is pretty tight as well.
And were you a student of the game then as compared to the average college athlete? Or were you a partier or what?
No, yeah, for sure. No, definitely did my homework. But as a player, it's a much different game that you look at and analyze than a coach.
Okay.
So, you know, as a receiver, I'm just worried about man on me, man inside, man over the top. I have no idea what the offensive linemen are doing.
Get open.
Right. The smartest guy in the field is the quarterback. He's looking at everything. So, but as a receiver, I'm pretty isolated in what I need to look at, what my job is, and those things. So this has been a learning experience for me too, to understand the game from a coach's perspective, which is just much different.
Okay, so maybe just to back up a little bit. So you have software that, and just sort of correct me on this. You have software that helps a coach better. He or she becomes a better decision maker because of the data that gets crunched right. in real time. So I know what play to call and what tendencies the defense is showing me, so I can create a mismatch.
Exactly. Existing behavior now is to watch the game and use pen and paper to take notes and try to maybe do some rough arithmetic on paper during the middle of a game to try to understand tendencies within, let's say, like blitz packages or fronts or offensive play direction, things like that. They're all taking notes up there, but it's typically on pen and paper. We've just modernized that behavior, put it on a touch screen that keeps up with the speed of the game. So you have 5 to 15 seconds to call a play. That's about it. And if you're running, you know, up-tempo offense, it's more like 5.
Okay, so let's walk through. This is interesting because we're talking about the product now, but I want to walk through sort of the life cycle of the way I used to coach football. And so I think back to the life cycle of a week, and I think it's probably similar if you're in college or the pros. You sort of get into the season, and it's a week-by-week scenario, right? So you get through this game. Now you're bruised up, or you're not bruised up, but now you're looking forward to the next opponent. And so you are practicing to get ready for your next big game, and you probably have a scouting report of some kind. Yep. And so maybe walk me through the modern football technology program, and does it help me prepare for the game, mm-hmm. or is it just real time during the game?
It helps with game planning and prep too. So, let's just say Saturday morning for high schools or Sunday.
Okay, I'm a high school football coach. You played Friday night. You're happy because you won, but you don't want to, you know, over celebrate. So next day you're working on next.
Yeah, you're 1-0 the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, or you know, 0-0, right? Depending on how you look at it. Or it's Sunday for college or Monday for NFL. So you will exchange game film with your opponent. You give me 2 games, I give you 2 games. Back in the day, it used to be like VHS tapes or something, right? Now it's all online. We can exchange them over the internet. I will, as a coach and the staff, will watch all of those games, all of those plays, and break that down and try to find tendencies in their opponent.
So when you're watching, you're going to say stuff like, oh, here's what these guys were running. They were running a cover two, or, you know, a certain four-man front when on third and short.
Exactly. In third and short, these are the looks that they typically give, right?
So that's if you're on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And the same thing for the defense.
Exactly. Okay. When it's, you know, third and short and it's the open field and they're on the boundary side, they run into it, or they run into the open side, the field side, things like that, where you can find tendencies or strengths, where the back is set, things like that. There's all sorts of tendencies that you can identify that as a play caller, you don't even know exist. Anyway, so you exchange the game film, you go through the week, you break that down. I'm trying to look at your tendencies. I put together like a scouting report. I hand that out to the different positional players, things like that.
Yeah, because we have practice. Let's say it's a Friday night. Let's say it's high school football. Practice Monday, right? You have to have all that done so that you have a productive practice on Monday.
Right, yeah. You get your scripting for practice going. You know, we're going to be up against a different opponent this week. They run a different type of defensive scheme. I need to put together a practice script in prep for that, right, for Friday night. Mm-hmm. So that builds into a historical data set.
Okay, so sorry, I keep diving into this. I have the video. Does the video feed? Does your system read the video, or do you have to take notes? Your coaching staff takes notes that help do something, and then at some point, does that get input into the system?
It does.
Okay.
So there's no video technology yet that can understand the nuances of, you know, a player in the video moving around.
Okay. Like
there's just slight movements or shading that mean different things. That's one issue with video. But I think it'll get there at some point. Then you have your own terminology. You know, this is what I call, you know, a cover two or this formation. You may call it something completely different.
Omaha.
So that, yeah. So there's that other sort of wrinkle that you need to work out and to get it to a place where maybe it's automated, right? Mm-hmm. So you use your terminology, you work in this video share platform, and then you tag everything that you're seeing on the field, formation, personnel, motion, blocking, concept, tag, defensive front, pressure, movement, coverage, everything. Everything that you can see, and then it's all...
You tag the video, you watch the video, and you tag it while you're watching it.
Yeah, you define it in your terminology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the existing platforms require you to type it in. So okay. it's kind of tedious, arduous. You're looking at the clip, you know, the intercut of a play, and then you're going back down to the keyboard and typing it in. So it's a lot of work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you tag it, and then video then gets give it to your, let's say your offensive or defensive coordinator or the players that need to understand it. So when they watch the tape, they have indication, something communicates to them what they are seeing.
Exactly.
Okay.
You put your game plan based around all the scouting work that you've done during the week.
Okay.
And so you have an assumption of what they're going to call and when based on whichever situation. And so, you know, now using pen and paper, it's a bit difficult to validate whether or not, you know, are they aligned historically with what they do, or are they deviating? Do they come out with some different looks just for us to throw us off guard type of thing? So with our system, it's all touchscreen. There's no typing. You can do all the scouting with it. It's a time saver. Mm-hmm. And then going into the game, you'll have your historical data set. And then I can tag what's happening in game. And I can determine, hey, these are the looks we expected. Or these are a deviation from what they typically do.
So when I watch an NFL game on TV, you see these guys carrying around. I'm thinking of the Niners. You got Shanahan. He's walking around with this. Looks like a couple of pieces of paper. I assume it's the script of this play calling, and he's covering his mouth, talking to people and stuff. He's still got paper out there.
Yep.
Does any of your product deal with the script itself and creating that paper or those choices of plays that they're thinking about calling?
It does. It does.
Okay.
Yep. So that's your call sheet. Mm-hmm. Has all your plays. It's typically organized by situation. You know, when I'm in high red, low red, here are the plays I like in this situation, or goal line. Also by personnel, formation groupings, or like play concept. I like inside zone. I like, you know, deep shots here, those types of things. And so it's usually one side is situational, the other side is concept.
Oh, okay.
Double-sided, laminated, and a lot of them are now this long.
Yeah. Okay, so then I prepped throughout the game. I'm able to sort of plan effectively and rapidly at the beginning of the week. So instead of, taking 3 days to sort out the game film from that I've watched, it's basically I'm able to hit Monday in stride because I've made decisions, because I have the information more quickly, have more successful practices throughout the week, and then I get into the game, and then your product helps take over the decision-making in the game, or helps, maybe not take over the decision-making, helps us make better decisions throughout the game.
Yeah, I would say it's a supplement.
Okay.
So now coaches would typically take a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, you know, grid it out, print that out. They'll have their columns of what they are tracking. And there's probably 4 coaches up in the box and they're all tracking different things. And, you know, I'm going to mark an X every time they run to the field or the boundary, or they come out in an unbalanced formation. And then I'm going to try and sort of like tabulate that in real time. And if you ask me, hey, Christian, how many times are they, you know, blitzing from the weak side in this situation? You know, I'm going to try and calculate that for you, but it's more, it doesn't have the depth and fidelity of what we do, because you know, as humans, we just don't have the processing power to do compute that in such quick fashion.
Yeah, you only have so much time to call a play.
5 to 15 seconds.
Yeah. And so you've got that. Does the program tell you what play to call or just what the situation is? What does it indicate to you?
It tells you the number of times this play has been called.
Okay.
The percent of total, the average or yards per play. It's almost like the
yards per play, like game in today's game or yeah.
Well, the historical data will show you historical.
Okay.
And then efficiency. So efficiency is a really important metric in football now. That is defined as, did you gain 4 yards or more on first down, or 50% or more on second down to convert to first down? Did you convert on third or convert on fourth? That's going to tell me, hey, these plays are going to put me into situations that I'm probability-wise likely to convert into a first down, keep that drive alive, and get down the field.
That's amazing, actually. What about the personnel? So if I know I have, I'm going to use NFL players. So if I know I have Debo in the slot and Ayuk's out wide, and Christian McCaffrey, when he's not hurt, he's going in motion. Are we talking about the computer helping the defense to know what to do in that scenario?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely, because you're going to be tracking not only the personnel that's on the field, the formation they're in, the strength, you know, where the tight end is typically, the back set, you know, if Debo split out or in the slot. And then maybe during the course of the week, you looked at a couple films or maybe even have 10 games that you're scouting with, right? And you know that every time that they come out in this particular personnel formation grouping and Debo motions right, you know, they're throwing to the short side of the field.
Mm. Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Okay, so we've gotten pretty – for anybody who's really not that into football, might not have even, you know, some of that might have glossed over. But yeah. That's, you know, kind of the way football is played today. And, you know, that we all have had known those coaches that are super inspirational and do all these, amazing things to get people jacked up and are inspired to play. And those, you know, there's nothing more important than that. But some of those same coaches are horrible at calling plays, right? It's like, well, what are you doing? You know, you've got talent and they're fired up and they're going, but they don't know what the heck they're doing. Or they appear that way because you haven't called the right play.
Yeah. There's, you know, many cases where it's Saturday, Sunday morning and you're, you know, they're asking themselves, why did we keep calling this play? Why didn't we call that more?
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of confirmation bias that goes around play calling and what you like as a play caller and what you, you know, think is, you know, your sort of bread and butter play to move the ball down the field.
And when you are watching, if you're watching, it's hard to see. For me, it's hard to see it on TV because they're focused in on wherever the ball is. But a lot of times the line coach is watching, you know, different players within the, you know, the offensive line, let's call it. And even to watch everybody on the offensive line at one time to see if they are doing their job or what's going on the other side of the ball, it takes multiple people to really see what's going on at all these different positions and to get that all communicated to one another. I mean, it's virtually, you know, it's almost impossible.
You're exactly right. And that's why you have, you know, 4 or 6 people up there in the box, because they are, you know, dividing up who's looking at what and tracking what. And we sort of bring all of that together now into a singular place.
Okay. So that's, again, I'm still into this stuff. So, but I got to back off for the good of getting through this show. But it's just football, right? Somebody might say, well, it's just football. How big of a market is football? Well, I mean, you start thinking about the NFL and all the – it's billions and billions of dollars in the NFL. College the same way. High school's got millions of players, over 1 million players. The youth has 1 million players plus, and it's like the most popular sport on the planet. And so it's only growing, and it's just the – it's a really huge business. And so I bring that up because winning is extremely important. And so there's all this pressure and all this reason to want to win, to put, you know, butts in seats and to get streaming rights, you know, monetized correctly. I mean, it is something that is critically important to, you know, the hospitality industry is whether we win football games here.
Right.
And you think about just the size of this, the enormity of this, you know, of, you know, Ohio State winning this weekend's game is huge. And so why would you skimp on what software you're using?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's yeah. like, geez, we paying the coach $1 million a year. We got to have some software.
Right. You know, even down to the high school level, football typically, even at small schools, is the only profit creating sport on campus.
Yeah.
So, you know, it typically pays for itself. I think there was a study done a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago, about Nick Saban's dollar contribution to the University of Alabama when he arrived there. And I think it was about $200 million.
Wow.
So he added that just by lifting the successes of the football program.
And this is sort of unrelated, but it makes me think about, okay, so he adds that value. And now with this NIL change where the players can get paid, there's more money coming in to the players. That's adding more revenue. More people yeah. are getting involved in this in the advertising and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the money, mm-hmm. it's only getting bigger.
Yeah.
And you, so you jumped into a business that's only getting bigger, and then you're building the best software on the planet.
I think so.
Yeah. Seems like a cool idea.
Yeah.
So what's happened, so we kind of have the why there. What's happened with the business? So you, when we invested, you were a startup. I know you had users and some clients, a couple, but now what's happening with the business?
Yeah, I think when we started in June of 22, we had two paid customers.
Okay.
And four or five beta customers, mostly at the collegiate level. So now we are at almost 70 customers. We're in 26 states. We're in the Canadian Football League, NFL, college, and high school.
Wow. Any youth? Are they, do they want it yet? Is there money in youth?
It's very applicable to youth. We've built a sort of like a basic tier product that's targeted for youth, and we just spoke to a youth organization yesterday that has seven teams.
I would think that, you know, I was thinking about being a high school varsity football coach when I, not that I got recruited, but I love coaching football. And so sell my companies. I was like, I'm going to go build a high school football program. And anybody who's involved in youth sports or high school sports knows that, you know, these kids start playing sports when they're like 8 years old or maybe younger. Yeah. But the programs that get run at the youth level that feed up into the high school level are a part of having a good high school program. So that's where I saw a lot of opportunity for the varsity football coaching position, is to really be good at building, you know, the geographic footprint and having a great football feeder program. And so I would think that even though the typical youth football coach is less sophisticated, the more that he understands what's in the varsity football coach's mind and program, the more continuity that will flow up to the varsity team.
Right.
And so I would think that the youth market would eventually catch on, and maybe even the high school program subsidize the youth.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, I actually went to high school in Bear River in Grass Valley.
Oh, you did?
Yep. We moved up here from the Bay Area. But the more well-known football program there used to be Nevada Union.
Right.
And they run the wing tee offense, or they used to at least.
Who was your high school football coach?
Terry Logue.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He had a son that was like a truck.
Matt and Zach.
Yeah. Okay, I remember those guys rushing for a lot of yardage.
Yeah.
Tackle the big guys.
But Nevada Union would have their youth program from the ages of, you know, 10. Those kids would run the wing tee offense.
Yes.
And they'd run it all the way until they graduated high school. Right. And they ran that offense perfectly. Mm-hmm. And they played Grant every year.
Yeah.
It was Grant, Nevada Union. Yeah. Nevada Union. Those
and
the
athleticism on the two
programs.
Teams wasn't necessarily equal, but the precision was also unequal.
Yeah. You know, Nevada Union did actually have some pretty good athletes. They did.
Did they have them going to the NFL?
I think they maybe have.
Grant's like not, pumping them into the NFL.
Yeah, no. So good point. They've maybe had one or two, yeah. but nothing like Grant. No.
Yeah.
Grant, you know, Grant's been a powerhouse grown up, just loving and rooting for Grant.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I kind of diverted off into the different markets, but so you've got 70 something customers now. Was there sort of a breakthrough moment? I know building a startup's not easy. We kind of touched on that. But was there a breakthrough? Did you battle for a while and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that was the breakthrough?
I think it's a battle every day as a startup.
It's like a football game.
As a startup, right? It's a grind. But I think if there was an inflection point or a breakthrough, it'd be when we raised funding earlier this year.
Okay.
End of February, early March. That was sort of a key milestone for us. With that, we hired more staff. We went from 20 or so customers to triple that amount, triple our ARR. So it's been a great year.
That's awesome. So when that happens, so these startups, and if you're not familiar with this, when a lot of times these startups decide to get venture capital input into the company, and then they can finish the product or hire employees if they're a little more further along. So at what point, and then also when once software is built, theoretically, obviously you're going to tweak the software and so on, but getting the initial stuff just to work and make sure that customers will use it and like it, that's a monumental task. I mean, most people fail on their way to getting the first few customers to like them and use them and decide that they're willing to pay money for it. But now you're past that. People are major colleges and NFL is paying money to use your product. And the product is already built. So now what's this next stage? Is it just throw gas on it to grow and get more customers?
Yeah. Okay. So we're highly focused on sales and marketing for scale. And our product portfolio is like pretty deep, I would say, and cutting edge. So we have some new things coming out for next season.
Okay.
That we haven't announced. I'm pretty excited about that. We actually just launched Sideline Reports. There's nothing in the history of football have you ever had this. So you could be tagging the game in real time, and a coach on the sideline will have a tablet and he can see the output, the reports of everything in real time.
Okay.
That's never been done before.
Wow.
So we just launched that. We're pretty excited about that. And next year we have some other things coming up.
Uh-huh. Sounds like there's some good secrets coming up. That's awesome. I can see the sideline report thing. That just kind of a good, great communication tool, right? A
great communication tool. You have the 5 to 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, existing workflow is I'm on the radio asking you questions. Now I can just look at this report.
Wow.
And tell me what I want to know.
How long before Kyle Shanahan has a what's called iPad in front of his mouth instead of a piece of paper?
Whenever the NFL.
Oh, they won't let you do that now?
Permits it. No. So there's a common misperception that those Surface tablets on the sideline have analytics on it or even video. It's just still pictures.
Oh.
There's nothing else but still pictures.
Those, and that's a NFL rule.
Rule.
Is it the same in college?
College, it's a little bit different. It's opened up a little bit more just this year. Next year, I believe it'll be fully open, but it's a limited data set.
What are they worried about?
I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe it's fairness. They want to keep equality. If these guys doesn't have video and this, you don't want the guy to have a better mousetrap on his side?
Well, at the NFL level, there's no constraints around budget. So if I buy it, you can afford it, right? Mm-hmm. At the collegiate level, there could be, but I don't really think that's a strong case for it. High school level, there's a wide disparity in budgets between some of the elite programs across the US and ones that have, you know, small coaching staffs. And so, you know, having this information is a huge advantage, right? It would give me a leg up on you for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to divert just to a question that just came to me. I remember when one of the first couple times I talked to you and hearing about your company, there was another, you actually had two products, if you will. This is my view of it, is one product was what we're talking about today, mm-hmm. and the other product actually helped the athlete become a better athlete.
Yeah.
Does that still exist?
No.
I was thinking.
But you're right. You remember correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We sort of got out of that and focused mainly on this.
Even during that time, I was thinking that this was the part that intrigued me more. There's a lot of stuff out there that helps us just with our performance and things like that as a personal athlete. But this was so unique. I know that, but you have competition in this. How do you stack? You said you believe you're the best. How do you decide? How would one, confirm that?
There's probably, I would say there's only one other true competitor. And our platform's designed to work with the speed of the game. So the 5 to 15 seconds you have, so there's no typing. You're not going to type in, fat finger something and then have to delete it. And by that time the play is done. Mm. Right. So ours is all touchscreen. This other product is, requires a keyboard and typing and people spotting and watching the game and sort of like three people to use it. So that's our big differentiator. Going back to, sort of everyone has tried to, move beyond pen and paper and into Excel. We at Texas, face that, challenge immediately because of how quickly of an offense Coach Herman ran. And so we had to develop something to keep up, and it was just sort of a matter of necessity.
Okay. And are they number one in the market now and you're number two? Is that right?
No, I would say we're number one in the market.
Oh, really?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mentioned sort of like our client base. We have the top teams in America use Modern Football.
Okay.
Right.
So we now it's just, what's stopping, let's say everybody wants to win equally. I think that's fair to say. I mean, we all want to win, or you wouldn't be coaching, at least if you're coaching football. Maybe if you're coaching T-ball, maybe we don't all feel that way. But when you're coaching tackle football, we want to win. And so why isn't everybody have it? What's standing between you and everybody just saying, I need to have it? Is it budget or is it awareness?
More awareness for sure. Yeah. We are not at a price point where we receive, closed losses on, due to budget constraints or due to price. That's not something we get.
So when you have the best product and your price is right in there, you're really not selling, hey, we're the cheapest. You're selling, look, we're the best and you really want to win.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they need to know about you. And I would think, this is just a guess, is that football coaches maybe aren't as technologically savvy as maybe other, maybe CI, chief information officers in a corporation, right? So these guys are football coaches and they want something really user-friendly and maybe even changing for, I'm already winning, and change might be difficult because I got to teach all my knucklehead coach. I shouldn't say that. I love football coaches. I got to teach all my coaches who really care about football how to work this technology. Is there any pushback in converting from one approach, whether it be Notepad or Excel, even to any software, or is it more from software A to yours?
Absolutely. No, you're right. We're all about not asking you to change your workflow.
Okay.
We're just about enhancing it in a logical way. So we're not tagging anything different than you're already tracking on pen and paper. And just instead of writing the number 10 for personnel, you're just tapping it.
Okay.
And so it's pretty, the ease of use is a key selling point, among others. But that's one key one that we know of why we're successful.
So onboarding a customer, I'm sort of picturing like what your team looks like. So you got to go out and you got to drive the sales and get people using it. And then I suppose that's before the season starts in most cases. And I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I'm picturing, look, I'm not going to want to make a major software change in the middle of the season. So I'm making it prior so that we go in, we know how to use it going into the season. But even the onboarding of that, getting everybody trained and so on, That sounds like a pretty involved process. Is it?
My hypothesis would be, originally was, that we would need 3 onboarding meetings, an hour each, to get you up to speed. And what we've seen the last couple of years is really 1. You know, let's get your software set up, make sure you've installed the latest OS update, which has, you know, can conflict with our software being installed, but is actually not in our control, right? Some of these computers just need a little refresh. Then, you know, I walk you through how to configure it, which is pretty simple, straightforward. Don't really need training for that. And then it's just about, well, what's the order of operations for me to enter a play?
Okay.
And so,
are you typically dealing with, I would assume, this is a guess, maybe the head coach, in terms of like making the decision to buy, the head coach has probably a main decision making type of role. It's probably mostly guys. Are there any women head coaches in football?
I think there are.
Okay. If I'm mistaken there, I don't know of any. So my thoughts go to a man making that decision, or a group of guys making that decision. And then somebody gets put in charge of being the one that works with you. That's maybe the more of a tech savvy person that ends up explaining it to the rest of us and helps us use it. So that you have to deal with mainly 1 or 2 people on the onboarding, and then that person is required, or their jobs, to get the rest of the coaching staff up to speed.
Right.
Is that kind of right?
Yeah. You know, there's a career path in football, and it starts, you know, here at the bottom. And typically your job is to break down film. So as a head coach, at one point in time, you were doing it. If you're still not, right?
Oh, so it's that person.
It's that person, typically. Maybe they're statistician. It depends on the size of the staff. But that's typically that person that's actually doing the work. It's not insignificant, because if you're not football intelligent, you could actually be writing down or tagging whatever you want. It doesn't mean it's right. So you need to be able to read defenses or offenses, schemes, know the nuances, things like that. So it's not insignificant.
Okay, so back to building the business a little bit. I'm jumping from product to business and product to business, but it's so interesting to me to think about this startup that is it's built and it's working, and people are customers are paying you money. Investors are saying, how do I get in and invest into your company? I mean, that feels like some turning point type of moments in there. But then I also am one of those people that says, well, how can I take over the world, right? How do I get all the NFL teams? How do I get all of college football? Maybe I should even think to, you know, other sports and things like that. Where does your mind go when you think about like the vision of the company?
Yeah, vision-wise, I think we're focused on football for this next year, but we do have some adjacent sports that are, I think, where we can get into fairly easily and quickly based on how we've architected our platform. I would say it's not customizable, but it's configurable, highly configurable.
And because you're dealing with football now, and in football, there's these plays that last, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds on average. I don't even know what the average is, but how long does a play last?
5 to 15 seconds.
Okay, 5 to 15 seconds is how long a play lasts. What other sports?
A play lasts less than probably 5 seconds.
Okay, yeah.
The time between plays for you to make a decision is 5 to 15 seconds.
Oh, gotcha.
Seconds.
Okay, yeah. So you have this window in between plays. What other sports, if that's one of the key differentiators, is your ability to sort of react to the information in that window. Are there other sports that would also love that data because they have these short windows too?
Yeah, so I describe football or let's say soccer or basketball as flow sports.
You're up and down the court, up and down the field.
There's not a lot of stoppage, right? And then compare that to, say, volleyball, where you do have, you know, formations, you do have stops, you know, stoppage periods
after every serve. Point or serve or whatever. Then there's about 15 seconds? I watch my granddaughter play volleyball. I'm trying to think how much time it is.
You would probably know better than me. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it has the, you know, it has the structure of like how a football play is executed in terms of like stoppage time, start time, and putting together different sets as strategies, you know, formations on the court.
Yeah. That could, moving certain types of skills, players closer to the net or on the left or the right.
Shifting, mm-hmm. all sorts of different things, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So volleyball might lend itself to this sort of platform.
Probably, yes. Yeah. Probably would be the first sport we would go into next.
And I think you and I may have talked a couple of days ago at GFX about flag football. Is that an emerging market?
Yes, it's a huge market.
My granddaughter plays
incredibly fast
flag football too, and yeah. they, people
new Olympic it. Sport.
Crazy, huh? Yeah. Flag yeah. football.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Any other sports?
No.
Those are the first ones that are sort of yeah. like in the thoughts. And then, what do you want to do with the company? I mean, a lot of times, so venture-backed companies. Typically, the investors expect to get their money back at some point. So you go public, or you sell the company, or you buy out your initial shareholders. How do you see all that playing out?
It's a good question. I don't have an answer yeah. right now. I love what I'm doing. We're not going to lose anyone's money. I know that, mm-hmm. Which is a good feeling. We'll That's continue cool. to grow, and then I think. You know, it just depends on, you know, what's in front of us opportunity wise, whether that's, you know, continuing to grow and raising more money and go on our own and look at other, you know, areas of the business, how it can be scaled and leveraged wise with the data itself or, you know, being acquired by a bigger company.
Now you said, you're not going to lose your investors' money, which is, I mean, it's really good to hear as an investor. Yeah. And you could have said that after two customers, right? Even though, you know, revenue off two customers, there's less certainty at that time. What kind of confidence or maybe even anxiety potentially did you have when you started taking other people's money into the company, knowing that they were hoping to get their money back and then maybe even some profit. So you have that pressure because you know you're using other people's money.
Yeah. I would say not really any anxiety. Like really believed in this product. Mm-hmm. We've nailed product market fit. I knew it was going to be a success before raising the money. You know, I was feeling we were just starving the opportunity without the money. So when we got it, you know, it was off to the races. You know, we tripled. Yeah. So, you know, I think we just have a lot of runway ahead of us still.
Yeah. And by the way, when we talk about investment and stuff like that, this is not a solicitation. There is no, they'll scratch that from your head. But some companies, they continue to raise for a while. Is that, you think, do you need to raise more money? Is that kind of part of the plan?
It really depends, on our growth plan, which we have. Mm-hmm. It just depends on how we execute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. What did I not ask you? This is to me, that is really, what questions did I not ask you about you and or the business that might be helpful to the audience?
I would probably ask, question about advice or what are your biggest challenges mm-hmm. as a startup or the CEO of a startup?
Yeah.
Things like that. So to answer that question, I think our biggest challenge is talent acquisition, finding the right talent. And then as a startup, you are a bit cash constrained. So you can't go out there and hire the talent that probably fits that role the best. At the same time, you probably are hiring people that need coaching, but then you're time constrained as well. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of time to, you know, coach some of these more junior people into the role. So I think that's just a challenge that I can't figure out. And so you just have to work through that grind.
Do the people that you hire have football pedigree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to be able to talk football when you're in this in this business?
Yeah, at this point, the size we're at, everyone needs to have the football intelligence, can talk ball, that has a network that we're leveraging. Most of our full-time hirees are sales folks. So it's, and, you know, those are key assets that are needed to be successful in those roles.
And how, one of the things that, and I don't know if you talk about this publicly, but I mean, you got NFL, college, and high school all with different kinds of budgets. Do what? How much does it cost to buy the software? I mean, is it?
No, good question. Our pricing is public.
Okay.
So we sell the offensive module and defensive module separate. So as a program coach, you don't have to buy both. So separately, they're $1,500 each.
That's like an annual subscription?
Yep, annual pay up front.
Okay.
So if you want both, it's $3,000 a year. And then we have add-ons like sideline reports, if that's something you want.
And the high school pays the same amount as the college?
That's the high school pricing.
Oh, that's high school pricing.
College is a little bit different. The product's a little bit different.
Okay.
It's a little bit more expensive. And then pro, you know, with our first customer, the Dolphins. So that packaging and pricing still undetermined, okay. I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, what else did I not ask you?
Good question. challenges of startup. I guess, you know, what do I find, you know, the most enjoyable about what I do, I guess.
Let's end on that.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, this is my dream job, right? I'm at the intersection of football and technology. And at where I'm at in my career, I never thought I'd be here. Right? I've wanted to be here, but never thought I'd get here. When you're younger, you get a lot of advice of like, go pursue what your passion is, find your dream job. And I couldn't be doing what I do now if I didn't have all my prior experience, you know, working at startups, working as a management consultant, learning how to build a business to get me here. So it's kind of surprising in a way. But for those other people that maybe are at a certain point in their careers that's, you know, 10 or 15 years in, it's still an opportunity for you.
Yeah, I love that. You're not necessarily wasting your time being successful in these other areas, knowing that you're going to find that intersection. Don't give up on finding that intersection.
Yeah, build your toolbox. You know, take this role, this position, extract all the value and knowledge out of it. You know, increase your skill set and then move on. Go to another position, work on a different project, you know, take on a different challenge where you're going to learn a different skill set. That was one thing that I really enjoyed about management consulting. The spectrum of strategic planning, corporate finance, marketing ops, sales strategy, sales ops. I did it all, probably except for the HR side of things. And that really created a skill set and a toolbox for me to be a CEO of a company.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great show. Thank you for coming on the show. And obviously, thank you for allowing us to invest into your company and enjoy the ride, live vicariously through modern football technology and you, Christian. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet.
Honored to be here.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at the Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you, we're never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.